is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I go to 1783, bound for Baltimore from Europe. On board, a young man who's a butcher's assistant. His name is Johann Astor. He is bound for his relatives and his friends in New York City via Baltimore. However, he is also the first millionaire, multimillionaire in the North American continent. And how he makes his money is the subject of a brand new book that I recommend to everyone. It's a joy. Beaverland, How One Weird Rodent Made America. Leela Philip is the author. The professor is a professor of English Department and Environmental Studies program at the College of the Holy Cross. We go now to Johann Jakob Astor, overhearing a conversation on deck. Professor, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. Congratulations. What did the young Astor hear, and what did he do with it? Good evening.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is just such a pleasure. Well, I just thought this was such a fantastic story. So he's headed for the New World with seven flutes because his plan after saving up money is to start a music business in Manhattan, but he overhears these traders talking about something, and they're talking about these staggeringly high prices they can make for a trade item because the markup is something like, even after they subtract transportation costs, it's almost 900% profit they can make by transporting this item that they can get easily in North America. If they ship it back to London and sell it easily, they can make that kind of profit. And he figures out that they're talking about beaver fur. So as soon as he gets to Manhattan, quick as he can, he sells those flutes and starts figuring out how to buy beaver fur. And that is the start of Johann Jakob Astor's fortune. And he becomes America's first millionaire, multimillionaire. And he goes on to found one of our first corporations. And it's an extraordinary story of the beginning of the larger story of how beavers played a role in shaping our country. The first foundations of wealth came from beaver fur. So it wasn't just our first economies, as I go on into in the book. It really was that beavers would literally shape the continent. But stepping back to your question and the conversation about Astor, beaver would become so important to the establishment of capitalism here, jumpstarting capitalism, that it would soon be on the first seal of New York City. It's going to be before long on the first seal of major universities like MIT. It's going to be on pretty much every road and landing in every state in the country by the time the story's over. So
Astor has a lot of good ideas. One is that he marries the daughter of his landlord, I believe, Sarah Todd, and she's very keen on his development. And this is 1783, but in 1803, Thomas Jefferson, the president, enlists the two men we know as Lewis and Clark to explore the new Louisiana Purchase. And this gives Astor a better idea. What is it, Professor?
Well, this is really interesting. So I should say, very quickly, by the age of 27, Astor's net worth was something like $40,000. I think that translates to $850,000 today. And he was just getting started. By that point, he was trading furs up and down the Hudson River, going west toward the Great Lakes and then up to Montreal. He was highly established as one of the most important fur traders because he was getting access to the very valuable Canadian furs. So when he gets wind of the expedition, he realizes that when they come back, they have established basically what could become trading routes from east to west. And his plan is that he will finance an expedition along all the trading routes that Lewis and Clark took. Jefferson very much wants to go back along the routes that Lewis and Clark took to spread democracy and settle the West and go beyond the Mississippi River and go hit that Pacific coast and see what's out there. But he doesn't have money. The government is poor at this point. So what Astor does is he really dupes Jefferson. He puts together what is a paper company, and he presents it as this mission that he will help fund the expedition. And in the end, he basically sets up trading posts in all the places that the Lewis and Clark expedition went. And of course, they are in the controlled by Astor as Astor controlled trading centers. And then he gets to Oregon and he settles a trading post on the Pacific coast and he names it Astoria. And that is a key linchpin.
He sends out two expeditions, one overland and one by sea. I write down the name of the ship, the Tonkin, who's apparently, the Tonkin is apparently captained by Bligh himself. This is Mutiny on the Bounty in 1811 or something. He abuses his crew, and in order to escape him through the Columbia River mouth with a bad seas, you tell a very dramatic story. They escape him by founding a fort, Astor, Oregon. You visited this part of the country. Do they remember all of this? Is this celebrated?
Yeah, well, that's interesting. So, yeah, thank you. I kind of, reduced the story to one narrative. There's an overland voyage and then there's a sea voyage. So Astor is quite brilliant because he's going to have a trade route over land, but what he plans is that ships are going to leave Oregon. They're going to take a trade route that goes across the ocean. They're going to trade to Europe, come back via Hawaii. They're going to trade through China. He's going to have a global trading empire, basically. So the mutiny is extraordinary because the captain is so abusive that eventually the ship gets blown up because everything just goes haywire. But they do found the fort and they found Astoria. When I went out there, I was really interested to see how much of this history was remembered. But what I would discover is that Astoria is a beautiful little city on the coast of Oregon, and it's at the mouth of the Columbia River. It's absolutely gorgeous. But they really don't remember John Jacob Astor and the fur trade. It was just too far back. And really, the cannery, the salmon fishing industry, replaced beaver fur, because what would happen is John Jacob Astor's American Fur Company was set up, and it was so efficient that very quickly they trapped out the beaver. So they over extracted the resource and the beaver were gone. So he set up this magnificent trade route and then the resource was emptied out. He didn't care because he had the trade route and he had enough money to move into real estate. But so I think the fur trade was done by then, and Astoria moved into fishing and canneries started.
What I took from your book, Professor, is that the beaver becomes the foundation for the wealth creation of New York City. Astor is the first of multimillionaires, not the last. And the property purchasing and selling that tells the story of capitalism in the early 19th century. And at the bottom of all of this is the beaver. And the beaver is wiped out. That's the part of the story I've always missed until your book. Pay attention to the beaver. Wiping out the beaver was the crisis. They didn't see it. But you tell that story.
Well, I think it's really interesting that we've forgotten the beaver. And, the conversion of natural resources into power, it's always been the propelling force of empire. Asia had spices and silk, and the Atlantic had cod, and North America just happened to be full of beaver. Something like 400 million beaver once filled this continent. But it's true, in the colonial period, beaver pelts were a unit of trade. It revved up the engines of capitalism in the 1900s later, and when the Hudson's Bay Company started here, and the AFC with that John Jacob Astor established later were established, the beaver made dollar was literally a unit of trade. There were tokens that were based on the number of beaver pelts. So a gun, I think a gun was something like 8 to 14 pelts. You could get 5 pounds of lead for one pelt. Literally, the beaver dollar was not an expression. It was a thing. It was a currency.
Let's come to the 21st century, Professor, because you begin this story with a wonderful visit at a beaver in your hometown of Woodstock, Connecticut. So we leave behind the 18th and 19th century exploitation of this brilliant creature, Castor canadensis, and we come to the 21st century and what is to be done. This is the book Beaverland. Leila Philip is the author. How One Weird Rodent Made America. I'm John Bradley.